Time to play with pain. Hosted by Emmy-winning comedian and writer Jeff Cesario. Interviewing guests from comedy, entertainment, and sports. Plus, legendary sportscaster Chet Waterhouse. Don't worry, this shouldn't take longer than your average trip to Costco. And now, here's your host, Jeff Cesario.
What is happening? Good morning. It's morning here. Welcome to Play With Pain. We're talking sports today like real cis men should. Now hearing the term come out of my mouth, I don't like the term, and I'm not sure.
I don't know what it is, and I'm afraid to say anything.
No, and I don't want anyone to. It seems it's been assigned to us. Anyway, I'm going to stop using it. But our guest, who correctly chimed in on cis, is a hilarious stand-up and writer who I had the great pleasure of working with on the Emmy-winning HBO series Dennis Miller Live. It's Ed Driscoll. Ed, you look fantastic.
You as well, Jeff. You stole my intro. I'm an Emmy Award-winning comedian writer. So I don't think we're going to have to get together after this talk.
Yeah, we'll have to. Well, you know what? I should have suggested that you punch it up for me. That's what I should have done.
I'm a credential punch-up guy now. It's a very lucrative niche market.
Right. You've got the camouflage Pittsburgh hat, which with their record might be a good thing right now.
I don't want people to know I'm a Pirates fan. I guess we all saw that one coming through the Zoom. But, they're my team, as you know, being from Pittsburgh. And
all right. We're going to talk about that in a sec. First, Chet, do you have an update for us? Get out of the way, sis boy. Here it comes. Time for the Waterhouse Update, sponsored by Creprika. If you just want your deviled eggs to look like they taste good, try Creprika, America's pastime. No, not doubting your memory that the Constitution actually does demand the separation of church and state. Baseball, Yankees and Mets both in first in July for the first time since Donald Trump had a line of steaks. Dodgers winning the Kate Hudson way, couple of homers. Lot of dribblers. Cubs sinking faster than Jussie Smollett's acting comeback. All-Star game in L.A. First time in 40 years, said MLB. We were waiting for traffic to thin. That wrap-up sponsored by Nutsacks. A perfect serving of nuts in a pocket-sized sack. That's Nutsacks. College football. In an attempt to accelerate global warming, USC and UCLA joined the Big Ten. Can't wait, Ed, for the coaches to submit the expense report for that Rutgers-UCLA home-and-home field hockey match. That item sponsored by Par Mitzvah. The golf method that'll make a man out of you. Wimbledon men's final. Novak Djokovic beats Nick Kyrgios. Royals in attendance, the Duke and Duchess of Tupperware. Women's final, Elena Nuramam of Kazakhs beat Ans Jandira of Tunisia. Royals in attendance, the Duke of Balderdash and Sir Rick Astley. Golf, Xander Schauffele wins the Scottish Open and is forced to slurp haggis out of a pewter cup. And finally, this week in sports history, the year 1912. The place, Stockholm, Sweden. Six men medal in the Olympic pole vault. American Harry Babcock wins gold. Two tie for silver. And there's a three-way dead heat for bronze. Literally, their bamboo stick splintered, killed all three of them. Only Olympic podium ever to sport a funeral pyre. The Waterhouse Update, sponsored by Jehovah's Witness Protection. Disappear into the warm grip of the Lord at Jehovah's Witness Protection. Back to you, Ed and Jeff. Thank you, Chet. Wow, that's a strong one.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah, it's nice to hear he's kind of mellowed out over the years.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't, he takes a breath every now and then. He's living life in the easy lane. That's what Chet's doing right now. He's happy that he doesn't have the responsibility of the whole show, I think.
All right. I'm starting to get a little concerned for you as a friend, but we'll talk about that off camera.
Yeah, no, we could actually, I'm sure we'll run out of gas in about
13 minutes. I mean, Chet sounds a lot like you, and I don't know, but that's not for me to judge. Hey, when did the show, it seems a little phallic to me, if I can say that. Harry Babcock, we got Nutsack. I mean, that's in the first minute of it.
Hey, look, Harry Babcock is real.
Well, I don't have any. Awfully cheap to make up an Olympic guy from 1908 get that one in.
Setups are always real.
Yeah, you would have made him Dick Hertz then at that point if you're going to go.
Yeah, why not? So listen, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing. You're doing a little bit of directing, I believe, the last time I talked to you. You were working on something, commercials or something?
Well, you know, there's a lot of traffic. Good night, everybody. Yeah, we're going to, you know, just like you do, hustling. I am kind of bi-coastal, which is funny. Everybody always assumes it's LA and New York, but Pittsburgh is my hometown. And so I kind of go back and forth between California and Pittsburgh. We're just a little shy of the ocean here. But yeah.
Well,
just,
you got the river, the gorgeous beaches on those rivers.
Yeah, three rivers.
Yeah.
We got three rivers.
Not messing around. Hey, guys, that one's sponsored by Cornhell, the only cornhole game with a 20-foot drop into a fire pit. Why don't you guys start talking? All right, we'll talk sports, Chet. Let's jump right into the big one for us. You're Ohio State guy, Big Ten. I'm Wisconsin guy, Big Ten. USC, UCLA join the Big Ten across the board. And football, as we know it, is toast. It's gone. There's no.
It is unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, I get it, because I've been around since the days of Woody, you know, Harrelson. No,
Woody,
you know,
Harrelson. Sure, he coached for a little while.
But this whole Illinois. USC and UCLA. I mean, seriously, Jeff. I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming because you and I actually haven't talked about this, but I'm assuming as what the hell as I am. I'm sorry. Those are our rivals to play in the Rose Bowl. Geographically, yeah. This makes zero sense to me. I mean, I get it. The brand and money. Well, you know, why doesn't Microsoft join the Big Ten? Because they have a campus, and that's a good brand name. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. It is.
Yeah, I got a hunch they're just going to dump them right into the Big Ten West, and they'll move Northwestern to the East. And or
which
Illinois
would make more sense than now, but yeah.
So Wisconsin will open each of the 2025 and 2026 seasons back to back against USC and UCLA, or some horrific thing like that.
Yeah, at midnight Eastern time. So yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Now I'll bet you've experienced this one too. We haven't talked about this either, but obviously both of us have been in California for decades now.
Right.
And you always, you know, and I always needle our USC and UCLA fans going like, you guys can't sell out any games. And you always get that. Well, you know, there's just so much to do out here. You're right. It's always like, there's so much to do. Oh, really? So you're telling me there's so much to do here. Somebody's not telling me there's no way to sell out six home games a year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I get it. You know, you don't have to be psychotic as we in the Big Ten and SEC are, and I'd rather you just say that. But to act like, well, there's just too many choices. Like, you know, yeah, I'd like to go see Notre Dame and SC, but that game happens every couple of years.
No,
there's a farmer's market going on in Santa Monica that's right. Only there every Saturday for the rest of our lives.
The Museum of the West is half off this Saturday, so we got to run down
exactly. I mean, it's so funny. It's like, wow, so how did Bruce Springsteen sell out that concert? Did they just close all the Ralphs down for the day? Or there was nothing else to do in California.
They should split it into two. There's so much to do, and then there's so much to do that you can actually afford to do.
Yeah, and then third,
that's too big difference.
To,
less than
6 hours.
Yeah, right.
Not trashing California, but it's funny, right? You always get that. It's like, well, we're just too busy. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the entertainment dollar spreads thin, which I understand, but there's still, as you point out, a really ridiculous finite number of games.
Yeah, like six home games a year. Like
six
you can't
Saturdays in 3 months. You should be able to pull that together. But I understand from a football standpoint, they got to make the dough. The TV contracts are the law of the land now. And I understand you're trying to, you know, we're probably clearly headed for a two league or maybe three league super top of the football hierarchy. And then everybody else feeding for the bottom of it. We may even, I've heard talk of a sort of English Premier League attempt to try to let some of the teams that might not quite be in it, try to work their way into it. I don't know. I do know this, that college recruiting has been on a national scale for a long time, especially for the big powers.
Absolutely.
So this was probably inevitable, but I think there may come a time when it shrinks back down. And I haven't heard anybody say that, but I believe that there may come a time where the population in so many areas is big enough and the TV contracts regionally will be sufficient to again bolster this.
And what is sufficient too? We're talking about greed. Like, how much money does the Big Ten need to know? And this is purely a reaction to Texas, Oklahoma. I realize that, and we don't want to get left behind. Because God forbid, you know, Kevin Warren, he would not want to mess up any situation. Are we still pitching stuff to the Big Ten, dude? Network? I'm sorry, you can take that out. If we are,
but
otherwise, you know, how badly did he blow the whole COVID thing? And it's like, I have no confidence with this guy there. And from my understanding, USC and UCLA were pushing, and I don't blame them for wanting to come into the Big Ten. I'm just
right.
I don't know. And
it's like, going to be wild.
How are they going to?
I'm less concerned about football and basketball because, you know, they will have always the financing, especially these two teams, USC and UCLA, to travel pretty much at will.
Right.
The issues I get, and Chet alluded to it, is, you know, when you start to get down into, you know, men's volleyball, where most of the Big Ten isn't that competitive, but USC and UCLA are incredibly competitive. Or you get into, now what do you do with wrestling, where seven Big Ten teams are usually in the top 15 or 20 of the country. And USC and UCLA could give a rat's ass about wrestling.
Oh, I don't know. Too much to do to go to wrestling. Or to even think about wrestling.
Well, now that's true, actually.
Wrestling's pretty low on my list, too. Yeah. I got to be honest.
Waiting at a left turn might beat out wrestling.
What are they going to do with that? Geographically, just say, all right, so you guys, for certain sports, just stay within this little perimeter. I guess that would make some sense.
Yeah,
which is why they won't do it.
Yeah, no, it's just going to be two super leagues for a while. And I think if the Pac-12 and Big 12 combine, that could be a legit league. There's enough good teams there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where I think that could happen. Now, what happens in terms of the national level? I got no clue. It's still going to be Alabama and, you know, LSU or somebody. And, you know, this isn't going to automatically elevate somebody into the college football title game. It's just not.
No, I think Texas and Oklahoma are going to struggle pretty well there.
I mean, look at their last two. What was it? Texas A&M, which has never lived up to the hype that they're supposed to have been. What have they been in the SEC now? 8 years? 10 years? It's close.
Every few years, Missouri, they knock off Alabama, and that's it.
Missouri won the West or whatever their divisions are once, or the East, and made it, and that's it. So there are two new additions back then, which were supposed to really bolster them, you know, or bolster the middle of the SEC, have failed. I don't know how Texas is going to do it. I think Oklahoma could survive because, you know, they have great coaching and a great sort of system that the SEC hasn't really seen a lot of. But Texas has been getting, you know,
and then Lincoln Riley took off for USC. So,
So this is all going to shake out weird. And then there's the old Fighting Irish, who will going to ride this one out on the elitist wave that they've always ridden, which is
but the thing, right, they're making less with their own NBC package than Rutgers is making as part of the Big Ten. So at some point, they're going to have to look at that and say, like, oh, we can get more than this. So I don't know. Ohio State plays Notre Dame in the opener this year, which I'm planning to go to, actually. And so that will be interesting. Maybe I can talk to both teams, get a little temperature, report back to you.
That would be great. But
I'm not handing out $100 handshakes. That's all you used to have to do back in my day. And now it's like, where's my car? Like, I don't know. Where's my national championship?
A good old-fashioned used car used to get you a halfway decent ball player. Now you got to get him an endorsement with some sort of, you know,
kids today.
Marine TikTok bait and tackle channel. Company. Yeah, the kids today with their TikTok. I don't know. So, I think Notre Dame's going to have to come around, but they always seem to refuse to. They're in the Big Ten in hockey, which is currently, I believe, a 7-team league and maybe 8 if somebody
they're an ACC in basketball, right? Yeah. And a bunch of other sports, I think, too. So will people, more people do that? I mean, you wonder if like USC and UCLA shouldn't just be Big Ten in football, but something else in volleyball, like you said, I don't know. It's
well, yeah, but they'll hold on to those contracts because basketball will make them money too.
Right.
And
right.
Weirdly, women's volleyball, you know, the Big Ten is strong. They probably got 5 teams that play at a nationally competitive level.
Yep.
And of course, the same with USC and UCLA. So that could actually become a revenue generator. That could be an interesting situation. You might have an Olympic style sport that becomes an actual revenue generator for a wildly expanded Big Ten. That could be interesting. But Notre Dame, to me, I think they're riding it out because let's be honest, I've always believed it. And I have a hunch you have. If they join the Big Ten, they're, you know, 5th, 6th, 7th.
No, you know, I think if they join, a few conferences, that's the case. And, you know, it's easy to bash Notre Dame, but yeah, they haven't been so relevant in the last like 20 years. You know, Brian Kelly did all he could there, whatever.
Yeah, he did a great job and they got competitive, you know, and then they crapped the bed when they got to the national. Not that other Big Ten teams haven't done that.
Oh, well, no, everybody does it. But yeah, no, they, you know, they haven't won any. I'm going to upset all my Notre Dame friends, but it's nothing I haven't said right to their face. And they haven't really won a big game of
note
in a while.
Yeah. And their bowl games have sort of been limping along. They've had one or two here that they've done well in, but overall it's not the juggernaut nationally it used to be. Hey guys, that was sponsored by Auto Body Experience. Hover 20 feet above your car repairs at Out of Body Experience. Next, baseball. Okay, Chet, we'll get to it.
He's as glossy as ever, I got to say.
Chet. Yeah, he is.
Chet, so whatever he does is good.
Let's start with your home team, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Good young team. I saw them, I think, sweep the Dodgers or take 3 or 4 from the Dodgers.
I think I saw that too. Yeah.
And they looked phenomenal. They looked really good. Slumping Dodgers or not, they're still the Dodgers. That team, even in a slump, nobody's in a slump together.
Yeah, and they weren't slumping when the Pirates beat them. But we just played great games. But like a young team will do, like you say, you know, then they'll turn around the next year, have 8 errors against the Reds and get killed. Like, so they're very inconsistent, but there is excitement. They're building in the right direction there, which is encouraging.
Now, is it going to be a scenario where they're like the hottest girl in a small town? The second they get a chance, they're going to bolt? Or do they have these guys locked up for several years?
No, they, you know, they locked up Key Brian Hayes, which, of course, then immediately He's led big. To a slump. And then and we love Brian Reynolds, so we'll probably pick him up. I mean, it's the old, we do have a cheap owner and there's no doubt about it. But people that don't follow the Pirates real closely, which I do not blame you there, but they have this thing in their heads like, oh, they treat everybody right away to the Yankees, and it's not. It's not true. They signed big contracts for Marte and for Polanco. It just didn't work out for McCutchen. So they will call me up there when they think it really is somebody. So I think they are. And they control a lot of these young guys that have come up, too, as far as like, they don't have to make a decision on a lot of them for like 5 years. So
Right. That's good. How many small market teams, though, are playing at that kind of level? Milwaukee has somehow figured out a way to kind of climb out of that.
It's unbelievable.
And be really competitive. They could have easily beat the Dodgers 2 years in a row and made it to the NL.
It's such a rare thing. But, you know, well, my whole thing is coming from a small market. Major League Baseball is screwed. It needs a salary cap like every other successful professional sport, because as you know, it means a cap and it means a floor and a ceiling. So the cheap owners, they got to spend more, and you can only spend so much. You know, it's the only sport. So it's not fair. Like Milwaukee and Pittsburgh have to make every right decision. If something goes wrong with one of the things, they're screwed for 5 years. Whereas if, you know, the Dodgers, because of their TV contract alone, which dwarfs Pittsburgh's and they don't have to share in any way, you know, somebody breaks their arm, like, well, I don't know. Can we get Kershaw? Like, who's out there, you know,
yeah.
that we can get that, you yeah. know, won't be in prison before the series is finished.
Yeah. And look at that. A national team with a regional television contract that works. That'd be the Dodgers. I mean, almost anybody in baseball.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's their regional contract.
I know. It's crazy.
That really creates the revenue stream for them. It is kind of crazy, and they can't figure out how to do that in college football. That is insane. How crazy is New York right now, do you think, with the Yankees and Mets in first place?
It's New York. It's usually pretty calm. So I'm sure they're just – has anyone even noticed yet? They're already bitching about because the Mets dropped a few, so they're already panicking. So yeah. It's fine. But although, it's exciting to see those teams doing well, for sure.
Although Atlanta is coming on really strong. I kind of like to see the Heat. I don't think anybody's going to come close to the Yankees. They just threw the ball. They could play 500 ball and, you know,
yeah, you get
probably
out
win the division by 10 games. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. They're an exciting team. You know, what's funny, though, have you noticed – too, and they've been talking about it for a while, but now in baseball, like, how average almost doesn't mean anything anymore. It's all homers, walkouts, and strikeouts. Because I'm watching when the Pirates played the Yankees and we split with them. It's so funny. We won 1-5-2 and then lost 19-0. Like, that's kind of what happens when we lose.
Right.
Good. I believe it was 19-2. So I was exaggerating. But no, looking at the Yankees, and they're like, oh, let's check out this batting order. It's like 256, 250, 280.
Nobody cares.
I'm like, holy crap. Well, I was hearing like the league average is like 240 now, whereas like in the old days, that would get you benched, right?
But absolutely. It's insane. And I mean, really, the Dodgers have Bellinger in center who's hitting like 206. But, you know, his fielding is great. He runs the bases great, makes great decisions, and will occasionally just jam it out into – you know, right. into the parking lot
and RBIs.
And then they got Max Muncy, who's batting literally 160, which was an automatic benching back in the day. Even if you were a star, you sat on the bench and they brought up some kid who's hitting 250 at AAA.
Just to send you a message or something.
Right. They don't care about that. That's what's been exciting about the Dodgers' recent run. And I've kind of turned into a Dodgers fan because a bit of a baseball orphan, no time for that. But Dodger fan now, and their last 7 or 8 games, they've actually been playing baseball. They've stolen bases. They've advanced on balks.
I do miss all that on wild pitches. Myself.
They've won games like that, and it's been a chopper just out of reach over the mound drives in the winning. You know, they're not just and like you say,
it's not just strikeout, walk, homer. Strikeout, walk, homer, because that's what most games are. But with these low averages, Jeff, you're realizing if they drop just a little more, you and I might have our shot.
Have a shot. Have a shot. Sure.
Getting closer and closer. I've already been dropping by the ballpark acting like I'm just watching batting practice in Pittsburgh. But they're like, hey, I'm like, oh, you know, I've swung a few in my day.
Do they have DH bunters? Because that's what I'd be in line for. Hey, guys, sponsored by Dick Tucker's Women's Clothes for Men. All right, one last baseball question. How in God's name are the California Angels wasting Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani? I think it should, quite frankly, be an absolute scandal that's talked about every day in sports radio.
How did they drop 14 straight? Even the Pirates haven't done that. We don't have a ball player of either of those guys' caliber, and they have two. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
And good pitching. I mean, you know, they got you, Darv. They got guys.
Yeah,
they got arms. I don't understand it. It freaks me out. I can't figure it out. And these guys are headed for the Hall of Fame, probably even on a team like that. And you know, right now, you know, as close as they're going to get to a World Series is losing 2 games to the Dodgers.
I mean, they're not even going to wear their Angels hats, are they, when they go into the Hall of Fame? You're out of here. I don't know. See, that's
some sort of neutral cap. They'll
have to come to. Just like something's like, oh, we couldn't get the licensing rights for that. So
right.
It's a generic cap.
Just a colored cap. There's no logo of any star.
Or why do they have to wear a hat? this guy's up there or whatever? Sure. No hat at all. Sure.
A bust of a good looking dude. Come on. Why isn't that in the Hall of Fame?
Thank you. It's sexist that they make them wear hats. And I don't even know what that means.
Hey, incidentally, guys, that one's sponsored by Cramden Yards, where every home run goes right to the moon, Alice. All right, let's talk some other sports quick here while we got a few minutes. Speaking of big news, why isn't this Brittany Griner thing larger? And again, talked about, it's getting talked about a little bit more now because they put pressure on Biden. But, you know, okay, she made a mistake. She was, who knows what the CBD oil was being used for in the States. It can be used for everything from a salad to a massage.
Yeah.
So she goes to Russia. They're going to make a big deal out of it. But well, to me, this
they
should
kidnapped
be.
Her. That's what they did. Right? Right. We know this. And honestly, and I feel terrible for her, but I also hope they don't forget about people that aren't star athletes that have been in prison there unfairly for like 3 and 4 years.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So to me, I'm like, I get it, but let's get all those people home and trade them. Murderous thug we have to send or whatever the hell at this. I'll make that trade. Even the Pirates make that trade. But yeah, it's a terrible position.
And here's another thing kind of sticking in my craw is, why can't sports lead the way when there's these national tragedies, these shootings, these mass shootings, where we do as a country stop down for 2 days and mourn and make a deal out of these things so that we don't just go on with life as usual?
Well, and I think sports. Yeah, we'd be stopping every weekend, right? How many shootings do we have every weekend? They'd be shutting down the seasons. That I understand what you're saying, and not to even make light of it in that way, but it's terrifying. Like nothing seems to stop any of it. So,
right.
Don't know. I wish.
Yeah,
I'd
still like to see some leadership.
I agree.
I mean, you know, and they have taken the lead in some ways. You know, they're generally. Sports, the NFL being a bit of a controversial exception here and there, but certainly the NBA and certainly baseball are taking the lead, in terms of support for, LGBTQ, support for minorities, support for women, support for medical issues.
It is true.
Things like that. But I think it would make a huge difference if they could figure out something where they stop down at least for 2 days and make a point of it. Now, all right, let's move on to one last thing before we split this area.
I want to end on a really depressing
down.
Note.
You want to go down?
That's what we do. Should but we all right, if you have to throw some little
that is true.
Wistful
the F pie at the end of the show. Let's take it straight down. Wimbledon. Is it just going the way of polo? I mean, I could not even work up. The energy to watch the finals, and I get it. Tremendous tennis is being played, but I believe that, you know, that demographic is just getting smaller and smaller. And especially at Wimbledon, it just looks like, oh, I get it. Talk about, competition for the entertainment dollar. I mean, those tickets are gazillions of dollars.
Yeah, no, it is. It's like becoming the America's Cup now, where it's like, it's funny you say that because I've had the same feeling and I figured it was just me just so busy with all my other sports but I haven't watched as much, and I didn't watch any Wimbledon this year for the first time in a long time.
Yeah. And I think it's because they did have a phase where they came out of that elitist sort of polo-ish sports arena kind of and moved into it was whether it was Connors, whether it was, any of these McEnroe, Agassi, guys who kind of gave crap to the referees, were not necessarily born of wealth, but, certainly maybe upper middle class.
The Williams sisters.
They moved the needle for people in the middle class to go, oh, hang on. I want to see if that guy blows up at somebody. I want to see if there's a fight at Flushing Meadow. You know what I mean? And it made it. I think the ratings were far better and far bigger then. And again, while the game is being played at a ridiculous level, Djokovic is unbelievable.
Right.
And these women were
that's what I wonder about tennis too. How is it the greatest player just keeps coming? Oh, he's the greatest. Now Borg's the greatest. Now Sampras is the greatest. Well, they're never going to beat Roger Federer, except with this guy. And like, how do they keep popping? Yeah. You're right. There's something. The quality is strange, because it's like we've seen six of the greatest ever in the last 30 years. Or
The parallel may be closer to Formula One. Gary and I talked about this a week or two ago. It may be big in the world around the United States that we don't often dabble in. You go see a Formula One race. Formula One's huge in Europe. It's just huge. You know, the TV contracts for these drivers are international stars. And I think tennis may just be like, okay, we'll get the dough we can out of the U.S. and we're just going to play these international circuits and just live our lives.
Well, you know, there's too much to do here in the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I got a swap meet I have to get. Hey, guys, that was sponsored by Handelabra, the world's fanciest doorknob. All right. I'm popping this on you, but I think I can do it. We'll wrap up with this. I love to talk about worst gigs. I love to talk about bad gigs, stand-up gigs, writing gigs, whatever it is. We've had without a doubt. Well, this isn't a gig. We're not getting paid. So.
Oh, well, can I talk to you in the kitchen? Because my understanding.
Look, I can give you a matching small Christmas tree for the one behind you on the shelf. That's the best I can do.
No, I have that.
There, isn't that?
I think I just grew there, dude. I didn't even put that in purpose. So it's the first I noticed it. Honest to God, I think my sister put it there or something. Worst gig, Jeff, I don't know. You're right. I mean, how can I?
Yeah, we just had that. Like, Joel Hodgson was on last week, and he told the story of he used to do a great bit with a leaf blower on stage. And he would put like a giant party favor on the end of it, like those New Year's Eve things.
Right.
And it'd go out 10, 15 feet into the crowd. And one night he said a guy leaned into it with his teeth and claimed his tooth got chipped. And he got caught in holy hell for several months. So I know they're weird, but you have had a wide variety of both stand-up and writing experience. And I want you to take a minute and kind of dig in and find some. And we may have shared.
I'm sure we may have. And then I'm sitting there going like, well, I know I'm getting older, but I still want to work. So yeah. I'm trying to what I should say publicly on. But you know what I'm thinking of is and thank God it's been quite a few years, but probably a decade or so ago, they asked me to do a prom.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and which I did it, but and I'm like, excuse me, but I'm kind of an established, and then I get, see the money, and I'm like, yeah, I could drop by, talk to the kids.
Talk to the kids. But I'll tell you, I'm down there.
They could not have been more disinterested. I was ignored for 20 minutes. And then if I was like, I thought my own prom was humiliating, which it was, but that was one of the worst. Like I was established at that point and stuff too. And you can see they're all looking at me like going, who's the old guy that got into the parking lot by mistake? And how do we get him out of here? Like it's so bad. So, I mean, that's just one of how many million you and I both know.
A prom. That's impressive.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic.
Sponsored incidentally, guys, Ed, you'll love this one. JCPenney, dressing homicide detectives for over 60 years. Ed Driscoll, thank you so much for coming on. Follow Ed on Twitter at the Ed Driscoll. And you have a book or two out. Where can people find those? You go online. Can they go to?
Yes, they can. Spilled Gravy is the big one. So you can find that anywhere. And I'm on Twitter and I'm on all that stuff now. And they can find me, man. But they just
Spilled Gravy. Incidentally, folks, read it if you can. And if you're ever getting out, doing stand up. Do yourselves a favor. Go catch Ed Driscoll. Ed, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, my friend. Great to be here.
Follow me on Twitter at Real Jeff Cesario. My album, What Was I Thinking? Streaming everywhere now. The Play With Pain mugs available at jeffcesario.com up in the corner right around there. So go buy those. And I have so much fun. Thank you guys for listening. Tell your friends all about it because I'd love to keep doing it. And every week, I have a great guest and it's mercifully short. In fact, I'll be doing stand-up the next three Saturdays in July at the Comedy Magic Club, which is reopened in Hermosa Beach, California, July 16th, 23rd, and 30th. The early show coming out. Check that out. Chet, how about you? What do you got coming up? This weekend, I'll be in Cow Skull, California, calling the 13th annual Thermometer Explosions for selfinflicted.com, sponsored by Mojabes, the High Desert's only hobby store, and Rocket City, the JetBlue of space travel. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain. Yeah.